that next step where you start coming up out of the ground is just around the corner. And that's when we can really feel like, hey, this is progress.
As above ground construction begins on the Grow Haze Micro Factory, Fort Hays State University President Tisa Mason has joined their board of directors. Executive Director Doug Williams stops by to share all the details on this episode of the Post Podcast.
Bob Muirhead, who is a longtime director, great guy, great contributor to our board, unfortunately for us, good for him, I guess, is moved to Overland Park in Kansas City, closer to his kids. He spent many years with Midwest Energy, and he retired, and because he's got kid and grandkids down in the Kansas City area, he and his wife recently moved down there, so he had to resign his position from our board of directors, and we reached out to President Tisa Mason at Fort Hays State, and she accepted to step in into Bob's shoes, and so that's terrific. We lose one great guy, and we get a very great person to fill those shoes.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of looking back as we were getting ready for this and looking at your former members that you've had over the last however long the organization's been around. You've had some real big hitters help out Grow Hays, and even before it was Grow Hays, the Ellis County Economic Development Group.
Yep. Yeah, we've been very blessed with a great board and people who are willing to engage and contribute, and particularly those type of people who are involved in some of the larger organizations in the community, which is so important. I mean, I always say Fort Hays is the crown jewel of the High Plains, and to have Tisa on our board and with that connection she has, obviously, with Fort Hays, and that's a statewide connection. And then you add the NCK and the Northwest Kansas Tech out in Goodland to the whole mix now. We're just really excited to have her as a part of our board. And I think she'll be a great board member and give us some a good connection into the university and what's going on down there and how we can both benefit. Because they've obviously are a huge contributor to our local economy, our local culture, and that type of thing. We want to be engaged with that as much as we can.
Yeah, you know, sorry, go ahead.
No, you're right. Yeah, and as soon as you mentioned it too, like, it just makes sense, you know, especially with like the business programs that they have with Fort Hays and everything. It's honestly kind of surprising that we didn't have that connection beforehand.
We have had Fort Hays representatives on our board before some, but never the president. And as you say, Jeff, I mean, we work with them on entrepreneurship programs. Yep. They've got an entrepreneurship department and other departments we work with. So it does make a lot of sense, and we're thrilled about it.
You know, I know we've talked a little bit about this in the past, but when it comes to folks like that are on that board, that diverse skill set that the board brings together, how does that help strengthen Grow Hays and the larger Ellis County economy?
Well, I think just those different points of view and those informed points of view that they bring to any given situation. And then the ability to, you know, the reality is if, you know, we have Eddie Herman on our board, who's the CEO at Hays Medical Center. I mean, these are people that are in charge of large organizations and can make some things happen in those organizations and understand the role they play in the community, understand the role we play. And so combining those people together and into our organization and that type of leadership for our organization is critical.
You know, is it primarily just leaders that you look for that board of directors, or do you look for a skill set that can benefit the organization?
We look for both. I think we absolutely want different skill sets. We try and have at least one legal type person on our board, a lawyer who has some legal capabilities, other people within the community that might be, independent business people who have a little bit different perspective. You know, we've got Karen Dreilings on our board. She's a longtime downtown business person. Chris Munch is on our board, and he's a longtime everything kind of person. And so we have a diverse board, and I think that brings different points of view and different perspectives and obviously skills to the table. If you've got somebody who has a legal background, who's a lawyer, it may keep me from getting in more trouble than I typically get in, because they can give some guidance in those areas. And then, you know, entrepreneurs understand how entrepreneurs think. And we work a lot with entrepreneurs in our e-community programs and things. So diversity and on our board is important. We've got a, and we have that, and we've got great leaders. And so I couldn't be happier about the board we have.
You know, talking about some nuts and bolts with the TISA taking over Bob's position, how often do you flip over the board of directors? And I think also, isn't there some term limits that they have to face?
We do. We have 13 board members, and 3 to 4 terms come up each year. And we ask for applications from the community. We have people apply, and then we look at the applicants, and based on skill sets, based on the type of things we feel we might be missing on the board, we extend our invitation to join our board, and we do that once a year. Now, when we have something like this situation, TISA will fill the remaining term that Bob had, which is just this year, and then hopefully she would want to continue on and reapply at that point in time. Term limits are, you can serve 2 consecutive terms, and terms are 4 years each. So you can be on for a total of 8 years if you choose to. And just because somebody's on now and they reapply when their term's up doesn't always mean that the nominating committee and the existing board is just going to say that person should continue on. It depends on the other applicants and what we may need at any given time. So I think it's a good time frame to refresh board members, and we always encourage anybody who has an interest to apply, because we're always looking for new board members. And at the end of this year, I think 3 or 4. We have a couple of years where 3 roll off, and then a year where 4 roll off. I think something like that. So we stagger them. So, but we always are interested in people applying for the board, and we'll send out information. Hayes Post has always been good enough to put our application out there every year, and it's come. I think October, November, we start reaching out and asking people to apply for the positions we have open.
And I'm sure we'll be talking a little bit about it when it comes up here on the show as well.
No doubt.
Doug, let's move on to the other big topic. And this is really exciting news. You've had some action down at the Microfactory, right?
We have. You know, it's always frustrating to watch everything on the ground. You know, There's stuff going on. They're putting in plumbing. They're putting in electrical. They're putting in footings for the slab, and then they start pouring a slab. But until a project goes vertical, you really can't get a sense of what it is. And yesterday and today, the metal building has arrived. They're bringing it in. I think there's 5 total truckloads of girders and beams and all that kind of stuff. And that started yesterday. And so we're excited about that, because that means that next step where you start coming up out of the ground is just around the corner. And that's when we can really feel like, hey, this is progress. And you can go out there and you can say, oh my God, this is a big building, because it's 30,000 square feet. I mean, it is a big building, over 20 feet tall. So that's exciting this week. We were excited to see that happen. And that means that we're getting ever closer to starting to see some of the vertical construction things come out of the ground, which means that now we can start. The people we've talked to that may have an interest in locating there can start to see it, and it kind of becomes a reality at that point.
Mm-hmm. You know, we've talked about like the features that are going to be in and the design concepts, but I wonder if you want to use this opportunity to talk a little bit about, you know, what is this building actually going to be? Is it going to be like, I think of like a tin kind of shed structure? You mentioned girders. Are they building it on site? How's that all going to come together?
Well, it's a metal building, a big metal building. It'll be, I think, 20 feet tall at the low point and 24 or 25 feet tall at the high point. It's constructed to be manufacturer friendly, because it is an incubator for manufacturers. So the companies that might be looking for a space to start a business in or to grow a business in, they don't have a lot of options locally in terms of what they can find to rent. And if they have to build something, it's really expensive to build right now. And so this building will be built to manufacturer specifications. It'll have the power capability, ceiling heights, accessibility of dock doors, and that type of thing. For about half, actually considerably less than half, of what the cost will be, half of what the cost would be to either rent something like that, which you can't find anyway, or more importantly, to build something like that. And the concept is they stay in there about 3 years, they outgrow it, and then in that Heart of America addition, we find a lot for them and put up a building for them out there and move the next guy in. So we plan to have 3 to 4 tenants, and they'll have access not only to the high ceilings and all of those kind of things that a manufacturer needs, but also we've got some office space for them right off the shop floor so they can handle their day-to-day billings and that type of thing, payroll activities. And then we've got some space inside conference room and common areas for those, break room and whatnot. So we're excited about it, and I think it's going to be a great project.
You know, I know in the past we've talked about the, finding the tenants, the right tenants for this, and not just the right tenants that would be in here, but the ones that can work together that make sense. Like, you don't want a woodworker next to a microchip manufacturer.
Yep.
I'm wondering at this point, now that you're starting to see that action happen, if you can talk a little bit about some of the potential and prospects you've been speaking with.
Well, and that we've talked to a number of people, but have no specifics. And you're right about your comment that, yes, we have to be somewhat cautious as to the type of people we pair up in there. It's going to be more than one tenant, so it's going to be multiple use on the facility. They need to be compatible with what they do, so the thing that they're manufacturing needs to be. We can't put a real clean process next to a real dirty process. They have to be compatible. You know, they have to kind of get along as people as well. So you don't need those situations where somebody's parking a trailer out there that blocks the entrance for somebody else who needs to get equipment and that kind of thing in, or raw materials. So that'll be the challenge. And as I say, we don't really have any specific deals at this point in time. I think that we haven't really even tried, because we're still a ways away. But now that we're getting to this point where we're going to start seeing vertical construction, we're absolutely going to go on the attack and try and find some tenants that will be compatible and decide what we need to do interior-wise. Do we need to build separation walls? We've looked at curtains that can be dropped down, heavy curtains that can separate. Because as it is now, it's just a wide open space. 100 by 300, basically. And that's a big space. So those are some of the things that we'll have to deal with as we get a little closer and once we find some specific tenants.
I'm wondering at this point, and understanding it's still very early in the construction process, but have any changes or anything come up that has required a little bit different direction on the plan?
Only about 7 million of them. That's the kind of the nature of the beast. You try and anticipate as much as you can. We've got a great architect out of Manhattan that has done the design work, and Anderson Knight is the architectural firm, and they've just done a great job of that. Commercial Builders is building the building, and they've got great experience in this kind of thing, but they're just always things that you didn't anticipate and wish you had, or things that jump up and kind of bite you in the rear end. But we're just dealing with those as they come. And we know that there's going to be more, just as I say, the nature of the beast. But we'll work through them we'll try and keep them to a minimum. You know, you do as much planning up front as you can, and then you just deal with those challenges as they come.
I'm wondering, we've got just a couple minutes left. Let's talk about timeframes. Are you on track, and when is the expected completion date?
We're a little bit behind. We had originally hoped it would be by this year end. We're probably not going to make that. We're probably looking at a late January or late February kind of time frame. We do think we can make up some ground that we've lost here if we can get going vertical and get it kind of closed in. Then people can, doesn't matter what the weather's doing and things like that, like today. You know, the rain comes up, or we were talking about the Wild West Fest earlier. You know, rain comes up, it kind of delays things and spoils your schedule a little bit. But I think we're relatively on schedule. I guess in a project like this, a 30 to 60 day window slipping that much is not unusual at all. So we're hoping to make it up, but we're probably looking at sometime shortly after the first of 2024 to get it done and be ready for occupants.
Okay. Doug, we got 30 seconds left. Anything going on down at the Breeze Space you want to talk about?
Well, we got lots of activity going on down there. We always have some space. We've got some new tenants that came in here in the last couple of weeks, which is always nice. You know, people coming in and, and trying it out and recognizing what we are and what we have to offer. And so we encourage anybody to come down and take a look. I've said this before, but it always amazes me as the people come in and say, I've never been in here before. And I just can't believe it, with as many people as we've had down there and as many events, that there are actually people who haven't been in, but there are. So come and see us.